Absolutely fascinating guest tonight, Dr. Keith Scott Mumby. We're going to be back with your phone calls. We'll also get him to finish up what he was talking about with the voice type, voice print. And also, I've got to get his reaction to see if he knows about the Royal Rife machines. A lot of you have been calling in about that. So we'll be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Doctor, let's let you finish up again about the voice print and what that all consisted of.
Yes. Well, I don't want to take too much time from questions, but I believe your audience would be very interested in this particular aspect of the device. What we're doing, as I was saying just before the break, is repatterning a person's voice, and that releases emotion. That's very satisfying anyway. But we find that ancestors play a strong part. Now, when I say voice print, I don't mean we need to go to grandfather and record. He might be dead, or grandma, she may be dead. But the person talking about their ancestor still contains energetic information prints. And when we use these, when we're playing them and recycling them with the person, we often get a fascinating phenomenon where the ancestor appears. You remember what I was saying, that we must survive as an energy field, an information field, and that seems to be the case. And it's really extraordinary indeed that by playing a person's voice that you can actually trigger or activate these energy fields and feel the actual presence. It's almost like having the ancestor in the room. And it makes me think very much of Native American Chinese traditions where ancestors are with us. This is held to be very strongly in their view, their model of things, their worldview. And the machine seems to support that. But not only that, there's some absolutely fascinating things were happening to us a couple of weeks ago in San Francisco. To give you an example, one lady suddenly shot straight into the persona of her mother as a child, and she was dramatizing this so fully. She had a child's voice. She was squeaking and making all the noises and gestures of a child, just literally as soon as we switched the machine on. She had extraordinarily detailed memories of what her mother was going through about 20 years before she was actually born. And that reminded me of, I don't know if you know Stanislav Grof's work, but he found that using LSD as a trigger, that people would often recall in complete vivid detail their parents' childhood, things, you know, facts and memories to which they could have had no possible access and yet were recorded accurately. So it's showing us again this energy and information thing is critical, that we carry these with us. They're passed from person to person, and the machine called the Vocal is really only just beginning to open our eyes to what's going on in this domain. I have predicted, I'm in print as saying that I think it will change psychology, change mainstream psychology, with the main changing new age psychology.
You might be right. Have you heard about the Royal Rife machines?
Yes, indeed. The Rife machine enjoys huge popularity, and I must say there's quite a lot of what to me is mythology surrounding this story. Just briefly, for those that don't know, Royal Rife was a very gifted designer of microscopes, and he designed what were probably the most brilliant optical microscopes ever made. And he was able to see microorganisms in forms that are not normally recognized in the laboratory, pleomorphic forms, and they're often in very tiny forms. They can transmute from a recognizable bacteria into something that's much tinier and would be hard to detect. But because of his brilliant optics, he was able to see them. So he started looking at disease in a different way. And he also discovered that by playing electromagnetic frequencies in the presence of these organisms, that certain frequencies would prove lethally destructive. And there is actually film on record of bacteria just simply bursting open when they're subjected to these frequencies. The typical story that I hear so many times is that, you know, there was an FDA raid. They burst into his office, smashed up the microscope, stole all his records, that kind of story. So far as I can see, it's historically bunk. Actually, what really happened was that the timing for this guy was wrong. Everything that he discovered was correct, and he was selling Rife machines in the late 40s and early 50s, just began to get onto the market. But there were $7,000, you know, which in those days was a lot of money, a big, big investment for a doctor that might not necessarily believe in the technology. And the reason the timing was wrong was that's just the time when antibiotics came out, and at that time, they were perceived to be, the absolutely golden cure, the answer to everything. They were cheap, they were plentiful, they would cure almost anything. The whole of drug medicine took off at that point, just after the war. And really, so far as I can ascertain, That's really what killed the Rife machine, the Rife microscope. There are various people who claim to have found the original research documents. Nobody has yet convinced me that they've got the real destructive energies. I'm afraid it really goes back to the old problem of, you know, lots of anecdotal stories. But, you know, I have an anecdote in reverse. So we had one in my university class with my students a few weeks back. We switched it on for a group therapy, and more than 50% of the people felt sick with what was supposed to be a Rife frequency for energizing and feeling better. So, you know, you were asking me about how can you choose much earlier in the program about the Scanner. I would say this about the Rife machine. I've never seen one that I believe is authentic, and I've never seen one that I believe is doing what it's claimed to do. I'm not saying one doesn't exist, but the vast majority are just whimsy. They are based on ideas about the technology, but I don't believe they have the core science that Ryle Rife has spent so much time and trouble. Now, hundreds and thousands of people might want to phone in now and say, oh, but I got cured, or my mom got cured of cancer using the Rife machine. We have those stories. I'm not saying that they don't exist. But what I am saying is probably just as many people feel ill when you switch on a Rife machine. I know I do. I've never felt well after a session with a Rife machine. And several times I felt quite sick, nauseous, and with a headache. So be very careful with that technology. I don't think the authentic technology has survived.
To the phones we go, west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Sayward. I have a question. I'm loving your show tonight, by the way. This is fabulous stuff. And I have a question for Dr. Mumby. I'm curious about the Scanner device, and I was wondering if he has any knowledge of whether or not it can eliminate nerve pain and actually heal the nerve as well. And if it can't, does he know of any other energy devices that have healed nerves and nerve pain?
Okay,
and I'll take the answer off the air.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, it's a terrific device for pain. In fact, one of its best uses is for acute pain, but also chronic and intractable pain. I'm not quite sure what you mean by heal nerves. I mean, if a nerve stops firing pain messages and you feel better, then I guess that's kind of healing nerves. If you mean taking something like a disease like multiple sclerosis, which is a deteriorated process of the nerves and nervous system, then yes, there are some good, again, anecdotal stories, I'm afraid, but I do know some very good stories where people have been got up out of a wheelchair, and at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if it's an anecdote or not, or it doesn't matter if it only just happened to one human being. If it happened to you, that's great news. So it can produce all kinds of beneficial changes. I think it's really down to intelligent application in the story. But if you for pain, I would recommend it without any reservation whatsoever. It is brilliant for solving pain.
Dr. Mumby, do you believe that there are some people who have the ability, hands-on healing, to be able to put energy from within themselves into other people and heal them that way?
Absolutely, and the science is beyond question, George. An interesting experiment was done at UCLA in the 70s. A lady called Valerie Hunt worked with a healer and showed that a healer's aura is capable of fusing with the patient's aura, and the two kind of blend together in a way that the patient is benefited by the energies of the healer. By this, the cyclotron resonance phenomena I talked about, there are magnetic fields coming from the hands of healers that have been measured on extremely sensitive devices like squid magnetometers. So remember what I said about the Earth's geomagnetic field. It's a fixed field. If you have an oscillating field coming out of a healer's hands, physics says you can't help but get an effect. Not just you could, it must happen that you get some beneficial changes in the energetic setup.
Next up, let's go to our east of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Hello. This is Jeff from Orlando. And one of the questions I had for Keith was, does he know anything about Curlian photography? And I was just wondering, because Curlian photography has been around for a long while, there's been skeptics about it and everything because of how it works and all that. But is that one way of maybe figuring out how or what a disease is?
Yes, there are a lot of claims for its diagnostic potential. a lot of which leave me, you know, unimpressed. I mean, there's no question that we're photographing something. We are getting some kind of auric effect. But I've been shown quite a lot of material on the Curlian photography system, and I'm not sure it can do everything that they do claim. There's a very famous photograph, which I think Richard Gerber published in his book, Vibrational Medicine, of a leaf which has been cut in half. And there's the Curlian picture of the missing half of the leaf. It shows up as a kind of energy imprint.
Yeah.
I can only tell you that almost nobody's been able to replicate that famous photograph. I find that disappointing because I thought when I saw it, I thought it was rather beautiful and almost scriptural kind of picture that shows us something about the meaning of life and the ultimate meaning of forms and things. But if it's not very reproducible, it becomes very difficult to know how to use this information.
Right. There's another very famous photo, you know, like a gecko or a skink can lose their tail. And they've had photos of the tail itself being, you know, seen in the Curlian photography, but you know what I mean?
Yes, well, I'm not questioning the fact that these do happen. In other words, I'm not saying the pictures we have are frauds. That clearly has happened. What I'm saying is it's not very reproducible. And the core of science is that everybody needs to be able to do it and get the same or at least a pretty similar result, not, you know, some days it works and some days it doesn't work. I have a problem recommending that as a sort of therapeutic diagnostic system, but it's certainly a fascinating one, and a lot more should be done with it.
If I can mention that there is one, there's an aspect of Curlian photography that, you know, the skeptics will point to, and that's what they use is, you know, like they'll use a testicle or something like that, and it'd be a high energetic voltage, and you know what Jacob's ladder is,
yes,
or the little purple haze that comes off of something that's been energized so much, and that's what they point to as being, you know, the photography aspect of Curlian photography is just that.
Yeah, they consider it just nothing more than an artifact. I think there's clearly too much variability in the form to accept that. And, talking about with the skink or the leaf shows that there is something there. I don't think any of us have a question. There's something there. I'm not poo-pooing the idea. I'm just saying, it needs to be reproducible if it's going to function in the way that people say it can diagnose things. You know, they say by looking at this, you can diagnose certain conditions. I'm not sure.
Is there anything paranormal here, Keith?
No, not at all. I don't think so. I mean, it depends what you mean by paranormal. But a thing is only not scientific or paranormal if you don't turn the right equipment on it or have the right model. It's para-conventional science, but isn't paranormal. You know, it's just based upon a high discharge on a photographic plate. You have to bring the person or the limb or the part in pretty close proximity to the plate. And effectively, it's just a discharge flash. But, I mean, even logic says it must be influenced by the energies that already exist in the part through which the current is passing. It's bound to influence it in some way, whether it has diagnostic potential or not.
Okay, let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, good morning, George. What a fascinating show. Unfortunately, I tuned in after 3:30, so make sure you spell his name and contact information. But my main question is, I want to bring this down to earth in this respect. What is inexpensive, nay cheap, and accessible in terms of you know, something that we could bring into our homes, whether it's color and light or other types of vibrational medicine. And I'd like him to clarify. I heard that if you have water, say, running under your bed in your apartment or your house, that's detrimental. So is there a way, without bringing in an expert, that we could, you know, and not knowing how to douse, that we could figure out where to place our bed? And I'd like to take my answer off the air, but this is a wonderful, wonderful program.
Okay, what do you call it? Feng shui or feng shui? How do they pronounce that?
Well, it's kind of feng shui is a related but slightly different phenomenon. Geopathic stress, I think, probably sums it up the best. And I was saying the most destructive element really is man-made energies. If you go to my website, alternativedoctor.com, I put a huge link you can't miss on the upper left-hand side that says, if you're following up this program, click here. And it'll lead you to a couple of connections. And there you can inquire about capacitance devices that you can put into your own the electricity circuits in your own home. You just simply plug them in. You can get a little inexpensive, it's like a couple of $100 meter that will tell you what the exposure is, what the risk factors are, and then by putting these devices around the house, you can get down the EMF exposure that you've got in your house to suitable levels. If you're worried about things like underground water and earth radiations, it becomes a bit hazier. Typically, people would use a dowser. That's not quite somebody I call an expert, but they're expert at what they do, which is detecting these things. But I would warn you off definitely doing things like putting copper bars in the periphery of your property and things like that, because I don't think we really understand enough about how these things might deflect. And in any case, you know, is it proper to bounce a radiation off your property and maybe through the bedroom of the next door neighbor? It's kind of like a lottery thing if you approach it that way. So I don't have any very positive advice to say about what to do about the underground water thing, except move your bed or, you know, if you work at a desk that's exposed, or your bed where you sleep many hours a day is exposed to this earth radiation, I do believe it's dangerous. But I just think moving your bed is the safest answer, rather than trying to wrap wire around the house or copper bars with salt in them or all these other remedies that I've heard about.
Keith, there are some people who believe they're getting bombarded by neighbors or governments with microwaves and things like that. Have you heard that?
The most famous one of those, of course, is the woodpecker, which is I mentioned in Virtual Medicine, you know, the very high output radio frequency that it simply chatters like a woodpecker that came out from Eastern Europe. They were pretty sure the Russians were trying to use it to bombard us in some way. And, of course, that technology potentially still exists. In fact, the potential for sinister uses of these kind of radiations has always existed. The particular dangerous ones are extreme low frequencies because they have strong biological effects. The trouble is, what do we do to protect ourselves? Now, you mentioned crystals before. There is some point in having crystals as an earthing device. Amethyst is particularly good for that, for drawing radiation. If you're exposed to things like computer radiation, rose quartz is another one that's said to be very protective. These are very simple, very inexpensive steps that might help.
You know, I used to think that people would wear things like that around their necks and stuff like that they were crazy. Not anymore.
It's a bit more scientific than you think, George. That's all I can say.
Yeah, they were right.
I don't wear one, for example, so I don't go the whole nine yards.
The name of the book is called Virtual Medicine, and Dr. Mumby's website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. But just for your information, it is alternative-doctor.com. And we'll be back with him in your final phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, somebody I've been chasing down for years, we finally got him, Robert Temple, Oracles of the Dead, Ancient Techniques for Predicting the Future. He's also the one who wrote the book called The Sirius Mystery, and that has to do with that star system and the tribe that knows all about that extraterrestrial place. So it's going to be a great program there. The April edition of the After Dark newsletter, where you get 14 issues for the price of 12, that's available to you as well. And the April edition will highlight none other than Alex Jones. So you can pick up the After Dark newsletter by calling 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. Or go to the coasttocoastam.com website and just click that, and you can order After Dark. Well, Dr. Mumby, you have been a dictionary of information tonight. I really appreciate you being on the program.
I've enjoyed it wonderfully.
Let us go to final phone calls. Wild Card Line, you are on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Scott from Fremont.
Sure, Scott. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, George, Dr.
Good.
Mumby?
We're doing well.
I wanted to find out about this cold laser therapy, if it takes care of artery disease. The other one about the pain in the back and what have you.
Okay, then that sounds like the Russian Singer.
No, I think he's talking about cold laser, George, and it does have special qualities to do with arterial disease. In fact, you know, I learned recently that most cardiovascular surgeons in India now prefer cold laser therapy to bypass surgery. Obviously, a whole industry would collapse if that happened over here in the U.S., but in India, you know, economics are an issue, and doctors are very sincere in trying to look for cheaper and better ways to help their patients. And cold laser is absolutely remarkable at reversing arterial deterioration.
What is cold laser?
It really has to... A hot laser is probably better known, and that simply means laser which burns. As you know, it's very, very powerful energy, very coherent, and it can burn at many feet distant. It's used to repair in surgery, for example, to make changes in the eye by burning or searing tissues. But if you put out a much less intensity of energy... It will penetrate the tissues but won't harm them. So this is called cold or low-level laser. And these are now quite popular devices. There is a link that I've made on the follow-up page, which will tell you where to find out more. I don't sell these. I deal with these. So you know, if you want the exact specifics of how much and what companies and so on, you'll have to inquire elsewhere. But I do know that they're extremely useful. They're good for reducing pain, inflammation. They're good at reversing age deterioration of the eyes, even Alzheimer's. And as I said, particularly brilliant in arterial disease, to the point where ordinary conventional cardiovascular surgeons are using them in preference to the scalpel. I mean, that's a sign, surely, of alternative medicine gradually invading the conventional boundaries.
Absolutely. International line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, how are you?
Good.
You with us? Question.
Hello?
Have we lost him?
Oh, I'm here. Hello?
There you go. Okay,
go ahead with your question.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask the doctor regarding alternative treatments, whether they are, you know, whether he thought there was some sort of correlation between, pardon me, food allergies, or if he could think of any sort of alternative treatments, particularly in the attenuation, when one was trying to taper themselves from, say, benzodiazepines or those types of drugs?
Yes, it's a good question, and it's got very broad implications, but I'll try and be brief. And basically, what the alternative medicine principle I would call to your attention here is one that we call body load. You only really have problems and stress and breakdown when the system is overloaded. So anything you can do to unburden the body is a good thing. And if you're going through the stresses of an addictive problem or withdrawal from highly addictive substances like benzodiazepines, then it makes sense to remove other stressors. So in other words, stop alcohol, stop caffeine, stop sugar, and get some sleep. Do all the things that will help lower incidental stresses to the problem. Also, adding things in, supplements, is also going to be very critical, because with a long history of benzodiazepines, it most certainly damages the neurotransmitters, and you need to take quite a comprehensive program. At the very least, I'd say you must make sure you get essential fatty acids, glutathione, some source of sulfur, like MSM or N-acetylcysteine. As I said, perhaps too complex to go into all at once.
Sure.
But you need to look at some serious keynote supplementary nutrition. You need to look at the reverse of that, which is removing things that are not good. See, I learned early on that nutrition has two aspects. Perhaps even the minor one isn't, you know, not getting things that you should. The biggest worry sometimes is getting stuff that you shouldn't. And that's really food allergy, in other words, or food allergy and intolerance. So if you work on that, coincident with we're trying to get over the withdrawal process with these, there's a chance. They're pretty tough, and if you go on far too long, you get a horrible condition called tardive dyskinesia. But as in all things in alternative medicine, we believe most things are reversible.
Sure.
It's a different philosophy. Conventional medicine thinks, well, you're busted. You know, we either can't fix it or we'll try and fix it. Whereas in alternative medicine, we don't think of the person as busted so much as the healing process is blocked. And if you remove the block, then Mother Nature can do a remarkable amount of healing. Heck, you know, she's spontaneously, you know, even if you don't believe in the higher things, you must believe in spontaneous healing, that people sometimes get over a tumor that should have killed them, but it didn't. So nature can reverse the process if she's given a chance.
Do you believe in traditional acupuncture?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I must say that the way they do it traditionally would probably be seen as a bit barbaric in another 50 years. I mean, you know, sticking needles into people.
And then they hit it with a little hammer or something, don't they?
Yeah, these days, well, these days you do it with a laser. It's a much kinder, more civilized way to do it. You can have exactly the same effect. And I wrote in the latest edition of Virtual Medicine about somebody's even more fascinating technology, which is using lasers to imprint homeopathy in the body. One guy is using a laser that he shines through a homeopathic remedy into an acupuncture point, and he's getting really quite successful results. So, you know, when these fields start to combine, I don't know, the sky's the limit. You know, it's hard to see where it's going to end, but it's very exciting. The developments are tremendously exciting.
Let's go to our next wildcard line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir. Thanks for holding.
Question for the doctor. I have heard, and it was on this show years ago, that the Albert Einstein School of Medicine had come up with something that by applying current through, I believe it's an artery, one can basically cleanse the blood. Have you heard of such a thing? And if you have, does it work?
Well, I'm afraid my answer is going to be disappointingly short because, no, I haven't heard of that, and I can't quite figure out the technology that you might be referring to. I'm not aware of the Albert Einstein Medical School, even, I'm afraid. So I can't help you there. I'm sorry. I don't know if the archives will help you.
I was sent, Keith, a machine, a very small machine that operates on a battery with electrodes that does just that. I used it. I you know, obviously, there's no way I could test whether it works or not.
Yeah.
But it was built by a guest of ours. And he was told to stop selling them by, I guess, the United States Postal Service.
That's the one.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Why the Postal Service? Is that?
Well, I guess if you're selling things through the mail that aren't, I don't know. I guess they weren't.
You certainly wouldn't
okay,
be FDA,
that's right.
I guess
it was not approved.
FDA approved, yeah. So if it was FDA,
anyway, he was making claims that it did certain things, and they slapped him.
Right, okay, of course, that's unfortunate because we don't know then whether they actually did the things or not. It's a different thing to be not FDA approved. To be FDA disapproved is almost a good thing because it means, you know, if they're worried that you're going to make inroads on the existing big business structure.
I've still got the device in my closet.
Okay, well, perhaps I can, after the program or tomorrow, perhaps you could just share that with me what it is. I'd like to just go off and do a little bit of research on that.
Okay, maybe I'll send it. Maybe I'll send it to you.
Okay, please. But I'm sorry I can't help the caller. I'm just you've hit a blind spot there. My dictionary has a blank page just there.
Well, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes, it's your turn.
Okay. My name is Peggy, and I'm calling from Aurora, Colorado.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi. I have a question for the doctor. I wonder if you've ever heard of a machine called a DRX 9000. It's for spinal decompression.
I haven't. Is that one of the EAV school of devices, do you think? Or perhaps it's pulse magnetic therapy, is it?
I believe that's what it is. It's supposedly an anti-gravitational effect on the spine, and it corrects herniated and bulging discs.
Yes, I've not heard of the device, but I do know pulsed electromagnetic energy devices in general, and they do get some extraordinary results. The only caution I'd say is it comes from Robert Becker, the man that wrote The Body Electric and an even more famous book called Cross Currents. He does warn us about casually using energies which are stronger than the body's. You know, energy medicine at the same level as the body's energy is good, he says, but if you go stronger than the body, just be careful because powerful magnetic fields can incite cells to divide in uncontrolled ways. He cites one experiment where 60 hertz frequency, which is the ordinary mains frequency of electricity here in the USA, increased the multiplication rate of cancer cells 1,600 times.
Wow.
So one has to be careful, shall I say. One has to be careful. Doesn't mean you need to be scared of these things. But certainly they get good results with pulsed electromagnetic energy. I can't argue with that. I don't have a machine. I've never used one, but I know people that have.
There are. I tried to look it up on the Internet before I went after it, and it seems like it's only been out for about maybe a year and a half or so.
Yes. Well, I think I can broaden the answer to say there's an awful lot of machines coming out on the market with different names and fancy claims. You have to just pick very carefully among the claims for these devices and see what they actually do. You can be comfortable, for example, amongst the electroacupuncture spin-off devices. They're operator-based, but, I mean, basically they have a long history. It's going back 30 or 40 years. But there's all sorts of things that put light in the tissues and electromagnetic energies in the tissues. Just be very careful you check up that they've got sound science and they can back up what they say. And I'd go further and say, you know, make sure you've got some kind of get-out if you're thinking of buying one of these, if it turns out to be a disappointment. Because I do know lots of people buy machines with great enthusiasm and then they end up on the closet shelf for years. Never get used. It's a pity.
I'd hate to spend $3,000 on this Russian machine, for example, and never use it.
Well, exactly. I mean, you wouldn't want to buy one unless you had some training in view. There are people out there who train on these devices. I only train on one or two devices. My courses tend to be just energy medicine and principles in general. But you wouldn't buy a Scanner without somebody showing you how to use it properly. Otherwise, you would run the risk of, you know, just wasting your money. So investigate everything very soundly before you jump. You know, don't go for the sales talk. Practical demonstrations are always a good thing. You know, if you have a personal condition, say, well, will it fix my elbow, and see if it does.
But you can't learn from a book? They don't supply that with you, with the device? For $3,000, you think you'd get Amazon.com.
Well, the one I have has got a very nice manual with it, but it didn't come with the original manual I had was in Russian. I couldn't understand a word of it.
Did they at least have sketches of the human body?
I told you the story the very first day. I didn't know how to switch it on even. I couldn't read Russian. The lady with the knees, but somehow it miraculously cured both knees in 15 minutes.
East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi. Yes, great program. There was a lady who called up about 5 or 10 minutes ago who was talking about nerve pain. And I believe what she was talking about is DPN, which is a diabetic peripheral neuropathy. And I'm wondering if you have had any luck with that whatsoever.
I was wondering why you jumped to that conclusion. I mean, more typically a person gets fuzzy or woolly feelings rather than pain.
Well, no, it starts out actually as a numbness and then a tingling, and then that turns into an extreme pain with people who have it on a severe scale.
Yes. Well, I would recommend trying it because these things, remember, they're non-invasive. You know, you're not likely to do harm. But you would only try it cautiously. I mean, if it's not working, then, you know, call it a day. But it's worth experimenting with these more simple principles. I would start with cold laser light because it's much less invasive than the Scanner. The Scanner is actually, you know, placing penetrating electrical impulses into the body. So okay. To that slight degree, it's invasive, whereas cold laser therapy isn't.
All right. And George,
yeah.
It's very obvious you were Dexter Morano Ray there the other night.
You'll never know.
Oh, I know.
Thanks for the call.
See you, bud.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Time for maybe one or two more calls. Wildcard Line, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you for a wonderful program.
You're welcome.
My name is Lonnie. I'm in the Bay Area, and I wondered if there is any center where you can go and use the Vocal anywhere in the Bay Area.
Just by coincidence, I'm in the Bay Area myself on Saturday demonstrating it. If you want to know how to get there or come along, then log on to an outfit called newhopetherapies.com. No gaps or dashes, just newhopetherapies.com. Log on there and make contact, and they'll tell you where I am and what hours I'm doing. I can say that to you since you happen to be in the Bay Area. You're going to be right on the doorstep.
I heard you say Bay Area a few times, and that was my hope.
Yes, okay. So I may see you on Saturday, but anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed the program.
And are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
The thing that healed the knee, I've gotten a little lost in all these machines. Was that the
Scanner, S-C-E-N-A-R. If you go on the net, you see it sometimes spelled S-K-E-N-E-R, but it's supposed to stand for self-control, so S-K isn't a very smart spelling, really. But it's quite common. It's the same device, anyway. Scanner, spelled with a C or a K.
Now, I've noticed there are some companies that sell these. How do we know which ones are good? Is there anything you can at least give us some kind of tips here?
That foxed me before, George, if you remember. All I could say is the original people I knew were importing them through UK and were very good machines were RITM, and it was the 97.4 model.
Sounds like an FM station.
Yeah, if you can find those, I think you can go with them fairly with fair amount of confidence. But other things, it's caveat emptor. I've certainly not had any to review in recent years. So, you know, I don't have a list of names of approved devices or anything like that.
And it's too bad we don't have, like, consumer reports for medical devices like this, huh?
I think the one thing I would say is, you know, don't get seduced into the idea, you know, if there's one for $500, well, I'll buy that because I'm not wasting too much money. I think if you don't have adequate technology in the device, then it's not going to work at all. So either buy a decent one or don't bother.
Well, that's true because, you know, price here is a big difference between $500 and a $3,000 unit, right?
Yes. Well, remember, I simply scaled up from the UK prices, and the dollar is very cruel against the pound at the moment. So I may be a little off, but certainly you're looking at $2,000 plus, and I would think $2,500 plus even now.
Okay, the website, alternative-doctor.com. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Our guest tonight has been Dr. Keith Scott Mumby, his book, Virtual Medicine. Keith, thank you so much. We'll get you back again.
Enjoyed it enormously, George. Okay, take care.
You ever get to Los Angeles?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, I'll be back there in a few weeks after my son's wedding. So
give me
maybe
a call, and I'll like to meet up with you. Yeah.
Okay, my friend. Take care.
Great. Okay, bye.
For Steve Carr, Dan Galanti, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norde. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.